And so far, throughout 3 hours of local programming, the majority of our listeners are saying limiting classes to 25 players or fewer would have the biggest impact. The early signing period is in second place. And I have a hard time disagreeing with either one of those sentiments, because it doesn't happen all that often in these parts, but there's a certain football conference in the southeastern part of the country that they oversign all the time, and much to the detriment of some of the kids who have been given scholarships there. It's a way of life in other conferences. Now, the Big Ten traditionally doesn't have that, but it pops up every once in a while where you'll see a monster class sign. Maybe a new coach comes in and wants to completely clean house and shake things up. But to me, you've got some very interesting proposals that are on the table. One that didn't make the poll question, basically because I couldn't come up with a way to shorten it so that it would aesthetically look nice. But the NCAA is also recommending some legislation that's going to tighten things up when it comes to schools hiring relatives of highly regarded recruits.
The Danny Manning rule.
Let's just call it what it is. And you mentioned in hour number two the situation at Missouri.
With Porter.
Where there's another highly regarded recruit whose father is getting a job at the university. Iowa went through this a couple years ago with a football player. His name escapes me at the moment. Somebody on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line will undoubtedly remember it. But he had committed to Iowa, and his dad got a job at Indiana, and he wound up going to Indiana. Now, a little bit of a different story there because his dad was a football coach first and foremost, but it does pop up every once in a while. Danny Manning, the obvious play there. I'm trying to think. Wayne McLean at Illinois with Sergio McLean may have fallen into that category as well. But this is essentially the Danny Manning rule.
Yeah, the nepotism rule. It makes it a whole lot easier if your son or daughter is a star athlete and a star recruit out there if you hire mom or dad onto your staff. And it has been done a few times. Now, it legitimately, in some cases, maybe not quite as legitimately in some other cases, but you can't do it anymore.
And there was a period of time in the NCAA in the 70s and 80s where mom needs a job and she's living in a terrible apartment complex somewhere in a bad part of town. Well, mom can move to insert name of college city here, and well, we've got a booster that happens to have an opening for her, and the job pays just enough to cover the rent on this wonderful, nice apartment. Stuff like that that used to happen in the NCAA, which doesn't happen anymore, at least not that gets publicized. But the 10th assistant coach is coming, which I think everybody agrees is a good thing. I know Kirk Ferentz has talked a lot about that in Iowa City. I think we're in the era of specialization when it comes to especially football, with an 85-man scholarship roster and with walk-ons, and you're going to limit certain support staff on what they can and can't do. Schools have guys that are essentially assistant coaches, but that you can't call them that because of the rules that are on the books. So the NCAA is going to add an assistant coach. Eliminating two-a-days is not something that I would have necessarily thought was a major issue.
No.
But I suppose they're trying to play that off under the guise of player safety and
absolutely,
and treating these kids with the dignity that they deserve as student athletes and not indentured servants, as some people would say they're treated by the NCAA.
They're still going to be, Scott Dockerman explained this really well earlier on the gym class. You're not going to have two-a-days, but you can have your three-hour practice, and then you can take some time off, obligatory time off, but then you can have a walk-through practice is what
that's not going to get abused at all.
Oh, no. Yeah. Now, how that is going to be policed, I have no idea, but you can have a walk-through practice where, obviously, there are different parameters than a regular practice. No pads, obviously, would be the first thing, but you can still get a lot of things done as far as that scenario and that situation is concerned.
So change on the horizon in some aspects of college football. What's not changing is the fact that we live in a world of haves and have-nots. And we touched on one of the stories about the haves earlier today, and that is the fact that Texas has these new lockers that cost about $10,000 a piece that each feature a 43-inch flat-screen television monitor, and the lockers glow, and they look fantastic and gaudy and over-the-top. And we're talking Dolly Parton, Best Little Whorehouse in Texas type hair here, like way over the top. That's the haves. And on the other side of the coin, I believe it was Stuart Mandel at Fox Sports who had a story today about Northern Illinois' 2018 non-conference schedule. Now, we've been talking a lot about non-conference schedules this week in these parts because Iowa added Middle Tennessee State to its 2019 non-conference schedule, and that wasn't sitting very well with a whole lot of people. In 2018, Northern Illinois is going to play only one non-conference home game. That is the year, by the way, that the Huskies are on Iowa's schedule. It's the season opener at Kinnick Stadium. Northern Illinois is going to play, listen to this non-conference schedule, on the road at Iowa to open the 2018 season. They'll play Utah at home as part of a home-and-home contract with the Utes. At Florida State, which is a rematch of the 2013 Orange Bowl, and at BYU. Mm. And the reason that they added the Florida State game was Jimbo Fisher and the Seminoles were willing to pay $1.6 million to buy that game, and Northern Illinois needed the $1.6 million to cover the budget shortfall that's been afflicting the school for the last 3 years, because the state of Illinois has operated without a budget for the last 3 years, and Northern Illinois has seen the money budgeted by the state drop from $91 million to $26.4 million over the last 3 years. They have cut 50 academic programs, not athletic, but 50 academic programs at Northern Illinois. If they did not supplement their budget by $1.6 million, they would have had to lay off employees and cut more programs to make up for. So you have Northern Illinois in 2018, which will go to Florida State September 22nd and get $1.6 million, and they are essentially doing that so that the school can make its budget, and people like the athletics secretary and the head coach's secretary and some of the support staff, the trainers, the video people that work in DeKalb can all keep their jobs.
Well, it's unfortunate, obviously. And maybe the state of Illinois is
major contributing factor,
yes,
to this. This is the norm.
But you're going to see this with more of the Sun Belt Conference, the Mid-American Conference, conferences like that. They're going to have to go fish for a paycheck, basically. They're going to have to go on the road and become a sacrificial lamb and get waxed so that they can keep up with, like you said, with everything they need to get people in there. It's all a vicious cycle. It's a dog chasing its tail, basically. If you lose this.
A husky? Is it a husky?
Ooh, it's a husky chasing its tail. Very
good.
That's
very meta.
Yeah, it's metaphorically correct right there. But you got to, you know, in order to get the recruits, in order to have the good program, you got to have the facilities, you got to have this, you got to have that. It all includes the people behind the scenes like that. And you got to pay for them somehow. And that's how Northern Illinois is going to have to do it coming up in a couple years.
They have future home-and-home games with Utah, who's on that 2018 schedule, Maryland, San Diego State, Boston College, and Vanderbilt, as well as the teams that we already touched on there, all in an effort to try to generate some income so that they can make their budget. Now, we talked about that in this part of the woods because you and I has faced some budget issues in the past, and when the Big Ten came out and Jim Delaney said schools can't put the UNIs or the North Dakota States on their non-conference schedule anymore. That hurt UNI. UNI's gone up to Madison and gotten a paycheck game with the Badgers.
Almost
took
won.
Took them down to the wire at Camp Randall and almost won, which is probably not what Barry Alvarez was thinking when he cut that check. But they've obviously come to Kinnick Stadium a number of times. They go to Jack Trice Stadium often to play Iowa State, which is still going to be able to continue that series because the Big 12 doesn't have such a rule, either spoken or on the books. But I just continue to be amazed on one level and then not surprised on another when you look at a school like Texas that can spend $10,000 per locker. You got 85 guys on the scholarship plus the walk-ons.
Now do the walk-ons get the lockers as well? I mean, that's $850,000 right there with your scholarship 85. And if the walk-ons or preferred walk-ons get to have them as well, you're talking about $1 million just in lockers.
Just in lockers.
Just in the locker.
And that's in Austin, Texas. And then in DeKalb, Illinois, you've got a program that basically is prostituting itself out to Florida State for $1.6 million so that it can keep bread on the table for its secretaries and its athletic trainers and its support staff. You really sometimes have to hold your nose when it comes to the world of college football because it's gotten to the point where, and it has been big business, but this arms race between schools like Michigan and Ohio State and obviously your blue blood programs like Texas. And then you look at the other end of the spectrum and you see where schools like Northern Illinois are, which, you know, that was a pretty decent program.
Went to the Orange Bowl in 2013, I believe.
Where they played Florida State.
Yep.
Jerry Kill came from Southern Illinois and really elevated Northern Illinois, and then he had a succession of assistants that were able to keep that heading in the right direction, Rod Carey and Paul Christ. And, by the way, they had a losing season last year, so they're buying these games or selling themselves to these programs at probably the wrong time for their current head coach. But you've got to do what you've got to do in order to make your budget when you're a school like Northern Illinois. I don't know of whether at some point in time the NCAA is going to step in and try to legislate things like amenities that you can have in your football facilities and things like that. But if you've got the money, spend it, and that's what Texas is doing.
Yep.
Texas doesn't have to worry about shaking the money tree when it wants facilities. Now, there's a price to pay for that. Charlie Strong knows that all too well. Mac
you better
Brown
win.
Knew it. You better win, because those same people will open up their checkbook and they will buy you out of your million-dollar contract. Now, if you're a coach, you're getting your money one way or the other. You might as well get paid not to work, but it's just amazing to see a $10,000 locker, and then in the same Twitter feed, three stories down, you're reading about a school that needs $1.6 million just to basically break even and make its budget for the year. And it's all under the umbrella of the NCAA and college football. So I like what the direction the NCAA is going in addressing some of these rule changes, and some of them certainly make sense. But then there are other areas where when you take a look and say maybe their priorities could be placed elsewhere. I'm not calling for a level playing field.
It's never going to be a level playing
field. And it never is. It never is. And that's why you've got to sometimes get creative. And we've talked about that with Iowa next Friday night playing its spring game / open scrimmage, whatever verbiage you want to use to describe it, on a Friday night, which I don't know. What feedback have you heard on that? Because I've talked to some people. They're not necessarily wild about it. It's on a Friday night, so you don't have to worry about the kids going to school
right
the next day, but it's a 7 o'clock start. Maybe it's going to be a little bit colder than if you would have played it at noon. April temperatures are always a crapshoot. But this is Iowa getting creative so that it can get on the Big Ten Network and it can get some exposure, because when Iowa goes up against Ohio State or Michigan at spring football time, you know who's going to wind up getting streamed on BTN to go.
Yeah.
And it was the Hawkeyes. And they did this now for the last couple years, and somebody had the sense to say, look, we have to do this. It's going to get us exposure. It's going to get us on the network. And let's go ahead and try it. Let's roll the dice. I'm actually looking forward to this. Next Friday, we're going to be doing the show here. Alex and I will be. And then I'll head over to Kinnick Stadium and check things out for myself. And I have no doubt in my mind that if they pull this off, if this works well next week, then they'll probably continue to do this moving forward.
The people that I have talked to, and it's been about four, five season ticket holders, and I think they're all in the same boat, and that is they're going to wait and see. Really not a strong opinion one way or the other. The Saturday afternoon, all of them said basically the one big thing, and the same as any football Saturday in the fall, you lose a whole day basically. And they want to see, well, maybe go Friday night. Yeah, you're not going to be there tailgating 6 hours ahead of time. Maybe that will alleviate any problems outside Kinnick Stadium, moving out toward Melrose, what have you. But still, it's going to be a very condensed night. Get in, get out, get all the things. Wait and see, I think, is what I'm trying to say here, and that's what they're trying to tell me.
Problems outside Kinnick Stadium on Melrose?
What?
I have no idea what you could be talking about.
Not at all.
Especially at night. 624, hour number three of the Todd Brommelkamp Show. Today only with
Nats
Scott
win,
Unash.
By the way. Nats win.
There we go. Fly the W.
Nats win.
It's a different W. We continue on from the Coach's Corner in Iowa City, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard. Stop on in. It's the KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire, and it continues after this.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
This Saturday, the Colonels have an adult Easter egg hunt for fans 21 and over. Following the game, the field will be covered with hundreds of eggs filled with free beer and popcorn coupons, shooters of alcohol, tons of candy, and one grand prize egg with a free night in a Colonels Diamond Suite. Visit Colonels.com to get your tickets now for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Fixing your pavement can be more affordable than you think. Spring into action and stop dodging those cracks and potholes. Call Paint Asphalt. They can handle commercial parking lots, roadways, and your very own driveway. Serving the area for over 30 years, Paint Asphalt has decades of experience. Make your parking lot, roadway, and driveway look great. Pave it to last with Paint Asphalt. See them at paintasphalt.com.
Back with you here at the Coach's Corner, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard, the KGYM Road Trip continuing on until 7 o'clock tonight. Major League Baseball on many of the screens here, but they've also got the Big Ten Network, Wisconsin and Purdue playing softball, and Iowa, Nebraska on Sunday will be airing on the Big Ten Network this week, so you don't have to make the trip to Lincoln if you don't want to. In order to keep up on Rick Heller and the Hawkeyes, they're getting ready for the first pitch, by the way, at Hayes Field at Haymarket Park in Lincoln, coming up at 6:30 tonight as they open that series. We'll tell you all about it right now, as a matter of fact, on our next Midwest One Bank Big Board update. We'll start in Iowa City, where the big news of the day is Iowa Deputy Athletic Director Gene Taylor leaving the school after 3 years. He'll become the athletic director at Kansas State. He's expected to be introduced at a news conference there at 10:30 Monday morning. Taylor came to Iowa City in 2014 after working as the athletic director at North Dakota State. The Cedar Rapids Colonels won their third straight game as they took the series opener from Wisconsin 2-1 at Veterans Memorial Stadium last night. Starter Tyler Wells worked six shutout innings to pick up his first win of the season. Travis Blankenhorn had two more hits. He raises his average to .400. That's second in the league behind Lansing's Bo Bichette. The Colonels and Timber Rattlers getting ready to meet again tonight for the first Z102.9 Mug Club night of the year. First pitch is at 6:35. Buy your first beer and mug for $6, and then you enjoy $3 refills all night long for remaining Friday home games. As we mentioned, Iowa baseball on the road tonight in Lincoln to take on the Huskers. Nick Gallagher gets the start, first pitch at 6:30. The Hawkeyes have won three of their last four Big Ten series is dating back to last year. It'll be Muscatine native Derek Burkamper set to pitch tomorrow for the Huskers in game two of that series. Kirkwood softball has moved its game with Iowa Lakes to Monday. Coe baseball was postponed today. They were supposed to take on the University of Dubuque, and Mount Mercy will move up first pitch in tomorrow's game against Benedictine at Cedar Rapids Xavier to 11 a.m. So that's a rounding out of the area sports schedule, weather permitting. Well, they don't need to worry about it in Cedar Falls because they play indoors and practice indoors, but the UNI quote-unquote spring game will be this weekend as well. We previewed it with Jeff Johnson from the Cedar Rapids Gazette back in hour number one. It was supposed to be next week, but the Florida Georgia Line concert the night before is going to prevent them from doing a spring game. So it actually works out fairly well because Iowa State did its spring game last Saturday at Jack Trice Stadium. UNI sort of comes into focus this weekend, and then next Friday here in Iowa City, the Hawkeyes will practice and scrimmage under the lights at Kinnick Stadium. So not too often that that happens, but you get all three programs to get a little bit of coverage spaced out. I'm sure the sports directors at the local TV stations probably like it.
Oh, they do, and not a bad idea, basically. And if you're a UNI, you get a little window to yourself, basically. And that's got to help as far as getting the word out and things like that, because that, obviously, as you know, Mark Farley relies on backyard kids to keep that program going. Two-thirds of that roster is from the state of Iowa, basically.
And spring games are always a good time to get kids to come to campus on unofficial visits. So especially for Mark Farley, if you're trying to get a kid, even if it's a kid from Pocahontas or something, and you say, why don't you come check us out? And Iowa or Iowa State have theirs on the same day, and they say, why don't you come to Ames? Why don't you come to Iowa City? It's usually a tough call for that kid to choose Cedar Falls over a Power 5 NCAA program like Iowa or Iowa State. So in this instance, probably all three programs benefit. I know Iowa State had a ton of visitors on campus, some basketball visitors too last week. We expect some big news on the recruiting front for Steve Prohm and the Cyclones. We got big news yesterday with the women's basketball transfer that you and I were trying to figure out. Yes, it was very nice of them, Iowa State, providing the pronunciation of her first name, but then completely whiffing on offering a pronunciation of the last name, and that sent me, the intrepid radio reporter that I am, who hates making mistakes but makes them all the time, to YouTube to dig up an Australian rules football clip of someone who had the same last name to see how it was pronounced. And I still probably wound up butchering it. But
took me back to my days of early ESPN watching Australian rules football.
I'm not Rich Fellingham. I don't have to worry about saying it about 800 times next year. Isn't that something to think about what ESPN used to be? Back in the day when you used to have the enormous satellite dish to get it, and they were lucky if they had NCAA gymnastics and monster truck
they
rallies.
Had a lot of truck pulls and tractor pulls. I'm not lying. They had a lot of – what was the event that put ESPN on the map, though? Do you remember the television?
I've read the book. The book was fantastic that came out about 5 or 6 years ago about – the genesis of ESPN. And was it the NFL draft?
Yes, the NFL
draft.
That's
what I thought. And look what that's become now. But the NFL draft sort of gave them a little toehold into the world of broadcast sports. And what I remember from reading the book is the original idea was to have sort of a regional cable network. And then they found out that it was the same price to broadcast nationally as it would be to just broadcast into central Connecticut. So this idea that the founders had, it was a father and son, their name escaped me, but instead of having this regional network in the Northeast, well, if you buy the satellite time, you can beam your program from California to Maine, and that's what they did. And then Chris Berman came along and some of the other great names that ESPN has provided with us. And Now we have guys like Stephen A. Smith. I'm sorry, I watched last night, and I happened to come across a commercial for that, and he was screaming about Frank Gore. And I thought, A, of all the topics to try to come up with a promo for your show, I don't think there are probably a ton of people that are highly invested in Frank Gore's career trajectory. But why would anybody feel strongly enough about him that they would be screaming an opinion about him? But
we love Frank Gore. We can't get enough Frank Gore.
Stephen A., not so much. We've got about 25 minutes to go here on a Friday night. Hey, a big thank you, by the way, back to the guys in the studio. Jeff Downing was there earlier, and now it's Zach Johnson piloting us until 7 o'clock tonight. It's always fun when the show is on the road, and we're here in Iowa City. They're back in Cedar Rapids taking your phone calls, taking your texts on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Big thank you going out to those guys. When we come back, we're going to let you know how you can have a little fun with our friends Schulte and Swan at the last Schulte and Swan prom. We'll give you the details after this. More of the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire on the way after this.
I actually use 1-800-Flowers. I order them for my wife. They arrive on time, and they last a long time. And they help me get through the cold and wet winter. But right now, the winter's over, and it is officially tulip season at 1-800-Flowers.com. When it comes to surprising your friends and loved ones with the best blooms, with the brightest colors, there's only one place to go. That's 1-800-Flowers.com. These gorgeous flowers have arrived just in time for Easter at a truly unbeatable price. Right now, 1-800-Flowers is giving my listeners an exclusive 30 for 30 offer. 30 assorted tulips for just $30. That's only a dollar per tulip, but it expires on Friday. So right now, go to 1-800-Flowers.com. Take advantage of those 30 tulips for $30. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter the code Jacoby. Once again, 1-800-Flowers.com. Enter the code Jacoby, but it expires on Friday.
If you don't sit in your lucky seat, your team could lose. So don't leave your lucky seat. But do pick up your phone or computer and order B-Dubs to go. Or if you've got a big group, call in for the party menu. That way you can order wings, pick them up, and get back to your lucky seat. And if you do lose while sitting in your lucky seat, you can still feel lucky eating your feelings. Spicy feelings. Keep your superstitions. We do it for you. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Prices and participation vary. See participating locations for details. Void where prohibited.
If there's one thing the pros at Advance Auto know, it's parts.
Advance Auto Parts and Batteries, this is Kelsey.
Hi, Kelsey. I'm on your website, and it says I can buy online and then pick up in store?
Yes.
And how long does that usually take?
30 minutes or less.
I need a battery for my 2013 Ford Escape.
Our Autocraft Gold, it's got a 3-year warranty.
Man, you really know your stuff. I'm 33. Am I too young for a cardigan?
Too young for a cardigan?
Advance Auto Parts. We know everything about auto parts. Order online at AdvanceAutoParts.com and pick up your order in store in just 30 minutes.
Back at 6:36, the KGYM road trip about to put the finishing touches on today's program. Podcast will be available shortly after we're off the air at KGYMradio.com. If you're listening to us on 106.3 FM in Iowa City or 1600 AM, the historic main gym anywhere across eastern Iowa, we'll have ESPN programming on the way for you tonight. 107.5 FM listeners, we'll take you to Target Field on the Twins Radio Network.
Garcia, Garcia, Garcia.
The Minnesota Twins play host to the Chicago White Sox tonight, and history will be made when Rick Renteria trots out baseball's first all-Garcia outfield. Willie in left, Lurie in center, and Avisail in right. Avisail Garcia, I could have told you, was going to have a great year because I got rid of him on one of my dynasty fantasy baseball teams.
That
just
shakes,
gave him away.
Makes you shake in your boots, doesn't it? Garcia, Garcia, and Garcia.
Well, you know, the White Sox, for what the preseason expectations were, in my opinion, have looked fairly decent here. And they've got a good manager. And Rick Renteria is going to wring every bit of juice out of that piece of fruit that he can and try to get that team to about 74 or 75 wins, just like he did with the pre-Joe Madden Cubs. And unfortunately for Rick, who's back to going by Rick,
it's
was
Rick.
Ricky
yes.
when he was with the Cubs for some strange reason, unfortunately, I think the same thing is going to happen to him that happened on the north side of town, and that's when, right when the White Sox are going to be ready to contend, if everything works out for them, they're going to wind up throwing him overboard and bringing in somebody that they think can do a better job of winning than he can. But some tremendous prospects that the White Sox have received in trades with Boston and Washington. And so far, so good. Those guys are putting up some pretty good numbers in the minor leagues. Yoan Moncada will be along shortly to help that team. Boston already started his service clock last year.
Not too quick.
Yeah, not too quickly. But Michael Kopech, who's they're calling Thor Jr. after Noah Syndergaard, he's down in Double-A. He had 10 or 11 strikeouts in his first start of the year. Speaking of the actual Thor, the Mets and the Marlins are playing tonight after playing 16 innings at Marlins Park last night. Miami with an early 1-0 lead in the second inning against Noah Syndergaard.
What time did that get over Eastern time last night?
That game got over around 1 a.m. Eastern time, and the only reason I know is I was watching it on the MLB Extra Innings package last night, and then I had some work to do. My wife was catching up on things on the DVR after the Colonels game got over, and as we were turning the TV off to go to bed, we got out of the DVR, and there on the TV screen was the 14th inning of the Mets-Marlins game. And I said, they can't possibly still be playing this thing. But they were. And so, of course, on the MLB Network, what were they talking about today? Ways to shorten extra inning games.
Oh,
because
geez.
Apparently they're a crime against humanity. What do you think? And I feel dumber for even asking this. And the text line can chime into it, 366-1600. But one of the suggestions on the MLB Network today was after the 12th inning, you just call it a tie.
Oh, no.
See, I had the exact same reaction, and I couldn't believe that anybody associated with MLB and its network would even suggest that, especially since that's what led Bud Selig to say that the All-Star game was going to count for something. If you can't have the All-Star game, which is an exhibition, end in a tie, there's no way that you can have a regular season MLB game end in a tie. Although I think it was Mark DeRosa, the former infielder, that said, look, after the 12th inning, everybody that comes to the plate is looking to jack a home run to be the hero. They're not getting good swings in. They're not playing small ball, trying to extend the game or trying to win the thing. Everybody just goes up there hacking, so why not call it a day? I think that's almost as bad of an idea as starting a runner on second base, which they were going to toy around. The international rule that they were going to toy around with in the very low minors this year, which I think got scrapped.
I think it did.
Thankfully.
For the better.
For the better.
By the way, the Twins-White Sox game, they're going to not start on time due to rain.
Our good friend.
So hang on to the Garcia.
Our good friend Chris Atterbury, who we met during the Twins Winter Caravan and the Cedar Rapids Colonels Hot Stove Banquet this year, serving as the MC. He's got a little rain delay theater.
He does.
I think he does book reviews.
At least, maybe they're not bad.
That's later on in the summer, I think, when he runs out of his spring training material he manages to
You wanted
set
to hear
aside.
From Sal Bando, didn't you?
Why not? By the way, I said we were going to tell everybody about our friends Schulte and Swan, and how fun is it to have Rick Swan around the office in the afternoon now. I don't normally get to see him, but he's graduated to our third station in the building, Rob FM, which is on the air now. But the Z102.9 Schulte and Swan prom, the last technically Schulte and Swan prom, is going to be next Saturday, April 22nd, at the DoubleTree by Hilton Convention Complex in downtown Cedar Rapids. Tickets are on sale right now. You can get them at the Theater Cedar Rapids box office on 3rd Street Southeast in downtown Cedar Rapids. They are $20 a piece, cash only.
We are a cash-only business.
We are a cash-only business, good for light hors d'oeuvres, as well as cake, and, of course, a party to remember. But if you remember it, maybe you're not doing it right. And I'm told that we will have not one but three dance floors courtesy of Hurricane Grill and Wings near Lyndale Mall. They're helping to sponsor this year's event. Now, you do need to be 21 years old in order to attend. We've got more details on our website. You can check it out on Z102.9's website as well, KZIA.com. Colonels and KZIA partnering to bring you our first Mug Club night of the year, getting ready to get underway. As a matter of fact, I think they are in the first inning now if they got started on time. Colonels taking on the Timber Rattlers. You're looking at the radar over here.
I'm thinking maybe not.
You have taken over the mantle of staff meteorologist from our friend Greg, who is now busy on Rob FM, but it's a pretty big-looking cell that's hovering across eastern Iowa, and I think it's going to stick around up into parts of tomorrow as well. So weather may be wreaking havoc on some of the area baseball and softball games, and certainly for the Colonels as well. But what a deal. You go out to the ballpark tonight and buy your first beer for $6, and it comes in a plastic mug. It's got a handle on it and everything so that your beer doesn't get warm this summer. And then not only is it $3 refills all night tonight, but if you bring it back to home games, Friday home games, the rest of the season, then you pay the refill price of $3 all season long. So it's an initial $6 investment. You're paying $3 for the mug, and then you're getting the $3 refills all season long. And should be a fun time, although as Alex is very concerned, Scott, about our ability to enjoy Mug Club night, because when we used to do things on Thursday,
correct,
show got over, drive a couple blocks to the stadium, no problem.
What's the problem?
Alex is concerned
that
we're here on most Fridays, and that's going to hinder our ability to take advantage of the Mug Club. Now, I said, I have a feeling we can find a way to make things work out. We can still get there.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Where there's a will, there's a way. And I'm not sure there's a will in Memphis this weekend. There's probably a couple on the Memphis Tigers roster, but Alex will be back with us on Monday. He's taking in the Memphis spring game as his brother goes through his final spring game with the Memphis Tigers. And Alex lives a charmed life because not only does he have a brother who plays Division I football, but he also went to high school with an infielder who plays AAA baseball for the St. Louis Cardinals affiliate in Memphis, the Memphis Redbirds. So Alex is going to see the Oklahoma City Dodgers and the Memphis Redbirds this weekend while he's down there as well.
We got a little baseball tonight going on, a little history in Atlanta.
The first game at SunTrust Park.
They're the last of the major league teams to open at home, I do believe.
It's April 14th, and there's a team that hasn't played a home opener yet.
Yep, they are at SunTrust Park. They just had a flyover, a national anthem song, and they're going to be playing baseball in the suburbs of Atlanta.
I saw a picture on Twitter earlier today. I thought it was Bartolo Colon getting ready at SunTrust Park. It was actually William Howard Taft in 1910 throwing out the very first ever presidential first pitch. And a lot of people, when they watch Washington Nationals games, they wonder why William Howard Taft participates in the president's race with all these great presidents, Abraham Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt, Thomas Jefferson. Well, Taft was a very intriguing guy. I mean, he was a Supreme Court justice, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, but he is the president credited with inadvertently creating the seventh inning stretch in baseball, because when he was at a baseball game, a Washington Senators game, in the seventh inning, in the middle of the seventh inning, he got up to leave the game, and everybody in the ballpark stood up as a sign of respect when William Howard Taft left the ballpark, and that's how the seventh inning stretch was born. So not only was he our fattest president, but he also made some great contributions to the game of baseball, just as Bartolo Colon continues to make as well. He's still pitching.
I love
it. It's hard to believe. Oh, it's fantastic.
I think it's great.
The Cardinals are playing the Yankees in a showdown of the two teams
it's
that
three
have
to two.
The most World Series rings. Between the Yankees, 27, and the Cardinals, 11. They're playing in New York tonight, and as you mentioned, It's 3-2 now. It was 2-2 with Adam Wainwright on the mound, but Austin Romine of the Yankees just went deep. White Sox and Twins will be in a little bit of a delay tonight on 107.5 FM, and then earlier today, the Cubs opened up a series at Wrigley Field against the Pittsburgh Pirates, and Pittsburgh took the opener 4-2. So the Cubs will have to try to come back and take the final two games of that series over the weekend. We knew a lot of people at that game, the games with the Dodgers, when they handed out the World Series rings. Scott Docterman from Land of Ten, whom you guys had on the gym class earlier today, was there. Tom Kakert from Hawkeye Report.
Oh, Tom was there.
Was there. And he sent me, I'll have to show you the picture that he sent. We mentioned it yesterday on the air. But the first person that he came across was Clark the Cub.
How
still apropos. Still not wearing pants, which makes him like a lot of Cub fans who still can't believe that we won the World Series. But they even presented Clark with a ring yesterday.
Clark got a ring.
It's not a real ring. But, and then, yes, as you said, Scott Fisher, our good friend and former producer at KGYM, at Safeco Field for the unveiling of the Ken Griffey Jr. bronze statue. So not only are guys that were rookies when I was a kid going into the Hall of Fame and getting bronze statues, but some of them are having kids that are coming through the Midwest League now, like Dante Bichette's son, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Tom Gordon's kid. Nick was with the Cedar Rapids Colonels a couple years ago.
That's right. Moving up the ladder.
And then now there's another Star Wars movie coming out, too. Talk about feeling old. I wasn't even alive when the first Star Wars movie came out. This is going to be the eighth Star Wars movie, and people are absolutely losing their minds on the internet over this because the trailer got released today, and it looks like perhaps Luke Skywalker is making a turn to the dark side. I know.
Don't give it away.
This is, well, it's in the trailer.
Spoiler alert.
Maybe it's in the trailer. 319-366-1600. That's the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. We've got our final break of the evening, our final chance to call some raffle ticket prize winners here at Coach's Corner. Stop on in. Happy hour goes for another 10 minutes. When we come back, we'll get you one final Midwest One Bank big board update, and then I'll go check the internal temperature on those steaks that were cooling in the Explorer during the program. You're not going to want to miss this. Back with more after this.
Take me out to the Twins game.
Tonight?
Get me into a seat.
Dear, I don't know if tonight's...
Buy me a ball and a fitted hat.
You can get a trapper hat for free.
Really?
Yeah, on April 15th.
Take me out April 15th.
Stop.
Okay, but if we don't go, it's a shame. Come on!
All right.
Change up your summer with the Twins on Saturday, April 15th, when the first 10,000 fans get a free fur trapper hat, courtesy of Pepsi. For tickets, visit twinsbaseball.com.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Hey, Dave, why is the other Dave chopping down a tree out front?
Well, Mr. Employee of the Month, you said you needed some set.
I said I needed that report ASAP, as in right away.
Oh, so what does that have to do with the tree?
Oh, boy.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com. Local jobs that work.
.651 back with you on the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. We're here at the Coach's Corner, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard, for just a couple more minutes on a good Friday, and want to take an opportunity along with Scott Unash tonight to wish everybody out there a very happy Easter weekend, whether you're spending it here in the corridor area or whether you'll be traveling anywhere. Safe travels. We invite you to join us back on Monday's program. Alex will be back with me, and making his first ever appearance on the Todd Brommelkamp Show will be Dan Hayes of CSN Chicago. We've talked with Dan here on KGYM a couple times in the past. He covers the White Sox for CSN Chicago. He's in the Twin Cities tonight for that game, and we were supposed to talk with him the other day, but he had a scheduling conflict come up, so we've rescheduled him for Monday's program. Plus, we'll hear all about Alex's trip to Memphis over the weekend.
We hope.
Beale Street and Alex's...
Oh, he's been there before.
He's been there before, and I bet he travels with his brother, who is a big dude.
That's the way I would do it.
Well, while Alex may seem like easy pickings, if he's got Gabe with him, chances are he'll be left alone into his own devices. Still 3-2 Yankees in New York right now. That game is in the bottom of the second inning.
Michael Wacha found out what everybody in the American League knows, that if you give up a fly ball to right field in Yankee Stadium, it's going to go.
That's right. Michael Wacha, not Adam Wainwright, making the start for the Cardinals tonight against the Yankees. There's a lot of World Series rings there in attendance tonight between Yankees fans and Cardinals fans. Let's get you one final Midwest One Bank Big Board update before we send you on your way this Easter weekend. May the Easter Bunny be good to you. The Cedar Rapids Colonels won their third straight game as they took the series opener from the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers last night at Veterans Memorial Stadium. 2-1. They did it behind the pitching of Tyler Wells. He pitched 6 shutout innings. Travis Blankenhorn had 2 hits to raise his average for the season to .400, which is second in the league behind Lansing's Bo Bichette. Tonight's game has been delayed due to weather, but it is still on. It is set for a first pitch of 7:30 tonight at Veterans Memorial Stadium, so still got an opportunity to go get your Z102.9 beer mug. Get it filled for $6 the first time and then refill it for $3 all night long and each remaining Friday home game. Gene Taylor is leaving the Iowa Athletic Department. The deputy AD in Iowa City is set to become the head AD at Kansas State. He'll be introduced in Manhattan at 10:30 on Monday during a news conference. Taylor had been at Iowa for 3 years, acting as Gary Barta's right-hand man. He came here from North Dakota State. The Iowa baseball team is in Lincoln tonight. They start a 3-game series with the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Sunday's series finale is set to be broadcast on the Big Ten Network. And checking to see a score on that game. They are underway in the bottom of the first inning right now, I believe, scoreless. So they've been able to... No, I should say the Hawkeyes have a 1-0 lead. My apologies. Looks like they were able to dodge the weather there in Lincoln and get things underway. So a big weekend for the Hawkeyes. They got to face a Muscatine native, Derek Burkhamper, tomorrow.
He's a good pitcher.
Who's a very good hurler in Game 2. And then, as we mentioned, Game 3 is set to be broadcast on the Big Ten Network. So lots of baseball this weekend. Hopefully the weather will cooperate. What are your Easter plans? Do you have to travel or do you get to stay home?
Nope, did that last weekend. While trying to avoid finding out who won the Masters till I got home, which was a lot of fun, but did get that taken care of. So, yeah, I'm parents home are here right now, so enjoying their company. And no traveling this weekend.
We are very excited because this is the first time in quite a while that we're expecting the Easter Bunny to visit the Brommelkamp household this year. I don't think my son has any clue what the Easter Bunny is, but he's going to be very excited when he wakes up on Sunday morning and sees all those Cadbury eggs, hopefully. Fingers crossed. The Easter Bunny knows that we are a Cadbury egg household, so we'll wait and see. Now,
it's a different bunny than visited the Palatial Studios at Z,
yes,
KGYM,
this will be a booze,
and Rob FM.
A booze-free bunny.
Okay.
Now remember, it's got to be the good Cadbury eggs with the cream inside. Don't give me any of that. There's caramel, and there's chocolate, which is... No. Give me the Cadbury egg that actually looks like egg yolk, which I don't even want to know what colors and dyes go into that, but they're tasty nonetheless. As we mentioned, Dan Hayes from CSN Chicago joining us on Monday's Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn. If you missed anything from today, KGYMradio.com. We'll have the podcast available for you shortly. A big thanks to Emil's Hideaway for sponsoring our poll question today as well about the NCAA football rule changes that are on the table. Good discussion about that, by the way, back and forth with some folks on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. It's going to bring a Good Friday edition of the KGYM Road Trip to a close. Thanks to everybody who joined us here. Derek on site, Zach and Jeff back in the studio, Scott for pinch hitting for Alex. 107.5 FM Twins Baseball on the way from Target Field.
Are you living with a growing prostate? Do you pee more often than you used to? Do you wake up to go? Be honest, is there a drop in your romantic life? Prostate problems don't go away on their own, so you need to call for a free bottle of Super Beta Prostate, the number one non-prescription formula for your prostate.